afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau here on Friday, the 18th of May, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll learn about Community Day on campus at UAS with guest Katie Bosler. And Bayless will be here to let us know about activities surrounding Saturday's International Migratory Bird Day, with a preview of Saturday's Juneau Jazz and Classics Grand Finale Concert and Dance by LaVey Smith and the Red Hot Skillet Lickers. And we'll get the details about this weekend's Femme Fatale event at the Rendezvous. At Writers' Almanac Music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with scattered rain showers in the evening. Forecast for Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain in the morning. And the forecast for Sunday, mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Many Alaska Native people oppose a plan to drill for oil off the state's coast, and they took their protest to the White House this week, as Matt Laszlo reports from Washington, D.C.
Environmentalists and tribes are putting a full-court press on the Obama administration to halt Shell Oil Company's plan to drill off Alaska's coast. This week, environmental groups placed a full-page ad in the New York Times, asking the president to halt Shell's plan to even explore drilling in the Arctic. Willard Nacko traveled from Point Lay, Alaska, to protest outside the White House this week.
We might not get our ocean back if we have an oil spill, you know, worst-case scenario, and that'll affect not only the coastline, but also the 7 different villages that are along the coastline, and not to mention the whole west coast of Alaska. They'll be affected, too.
Some tribes want the drilling in order to reap some economic benefits from it. But George Edwardson, the president of the Inuit community of the Arctic Slope, says some things are more important than money.
My biggest problem is I feed myself out of the Arctic Ocean, and my food and my place of feeding myself has to be protected.
Shell is asking to drill 2 exploratory wells in the rough waters off Alaska's coast, but it still needs approval from the Obama administration before the drilling can begin. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo in Washington, D.C.
The Pyramid Lake Paiute Tribe is hosting a major music festival for the first time in more than 25 years. Willie Albright reports from Reno, Nevada.
According to promoters, more than 6,000 people are expected to attend Symbiosis, a 5-day underground music festival at Pyramid Lake. Symbiosis has been held in the Santa Cruz Mountains in California in previous years, but tribal planner Scott Carey says the promoters decided to bring the festival to the lake because it will provide a perfect view of Sunday's solar eclipse. The last major musical event at Pyramid Lake was a Grateful Dead concert in 1986 that drew 10,000 people. Carey says the tribe recently adopted a new economic plan to promote tourism on the reservation, so the concert came along at the right time.
The number one industry on the reservation is tourism. So the tribe's always looking at ways to attract new people out to the reservation to bring in revenue to support services for tribal members.
Carey expects Symbiosis to generate $250,000 in economic benefits and give tribal police valuable training in dealing with events such as this. Carey says the training will come in handy because publicity from Symbiosis has generated numerous requests from other promoters to stage similar events. For National Native News, I'm Willie Albright in Reno, Nevada.
The first students to attend the Cherokee Nation's Immersion School made history by graduating this week. The Oklahoma tribe held a commencement ceremony for the 11 students. The tribe's executive director of education, Dr. Neil Morton, says in the history of the tribe, this is the first graduation for Cherokee-speaking students from a Cherokee school. The graduates completed pre-kindergarten through 6th grade at the Immersion School and will transition to Sequoia School's existing 7th grade classroom, where they will have the opportunity to take more Cherokee language classes. During this week in 1942, more than 250 Aboriginal people were removed from their homes at the Cape Bedford Lutheran Mission near Cooktown in Queensland, Australia. The Gugu Yimirus people were accused of siding with the Japanese during World War II. They were sent to different sites where more than 24 people died of illness and cold within the first month. Nearly a year later, 60 people died while in captivity. In 1949, the survivors returned home. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
I'm Billy Mills. As a grandfather and Olympic athlete, I know the importance of keeping kids healthy. The Children's Health Insurance Program in your state can provide your child additional health coverage, such as dental care, vision care, and emergency services. Enrolling your child can also help maximize health resources at your travel clinic. To learn more, contact your clinic or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW or visit insurekidsnow.gov.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:06 and you're tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First, before we get into the show, this Saturday's plant sale is at the Community Garden on Montana Creek Road. Not a Safeway, as was announced yesterday on a Juneau afternoon. We regret the error. Again, that Saturday's plant sale is at the Community Garden on Montana Creek Road. Not in the studio with me here electronically is Katie Bosler from the University of Southeast. I'm here to talk about Community Day, which is going on tomorrow. Katie, thank you for being on with me today.
Well, it's good to be here, Jeff. Hey, and before I get started on Community Day, I just want to remind people that we have a very special presenter tonight at the Egan Lecture Hall, Henry Reelbird. He's a former poet laureate of Montana, good friend of local filmmaker Joel Bennett. And he's going to be reading poetry, talking about horses and language and life on the plains as a Crow Indian. It's going to be tonight at 7 o'clock at the Egan Lecture Hall. If anybody is out here on campus, at 4 o'clock today, there's going to be a reception for him in the Native and Rural Student Center. And he sounds like just a really fascinating person. If you want to get more information about Henry Reelbird, if you go to the art section of the Juneau Empire from Thursday, Amy Fletcher did just a wonderful feature article about Henry Reelbird and his connection with local filmmaker Joel Bennett and how and why he's here. So anybody who comes out to the Egan Lecture Hall tonight at 7, it's free, is in for a real treat.
All right, Katie, thank you for talking about that. And that's then
sure.
The University of Southeast.
Right. So we've also, I gave a little preview kind of on Monday about Community Day on campus on June afternoon, but just want to remind people that, yes, it is happening tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. right here on campus. This is the 12th annual event. It is a absolute collaboration with the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, Juneau Jazz and Classics, and UAS. We want to thank Nancy DeCherney of the Arts Council for putting so much into this every year, and it's always a success. You know, we've got the Southeast Roadrunners are going to have their finish line there, the Seacoast Relay. There's Discovery Southeast activities. We'll have our mascot, Spike Whale, will be there for the kids. There is a petting zoo, also known as a touch tank, from DIPAC. There's going to be gold panning with the career ed department from UAS. So that's a new one, and that should be pretty cool. Learn about our mining training center downtown and do some gold panning. Taku Grill will be there with all kinds of hot dogs and nachos. Going to be at least one bounce house from the Barefoot Bouncers. And just a slew of groups, Jeff, are going to be having tables and activities, including Litter-Free Sale, Alaska Wise Women, Slow Foods, Juneau Dance Unlimited, the Planetarium, the Cribbage Club, Alaska Wildlife Alliance. So that's just the events, right? Also, we should have some representatives from our art department doing some art stuff like ceramics demos and who knows. But the music, of course, is the reason for this. This is Juneau Jazz and Classics' last day of their 2-week festival. So we've got local music every 20 minutes starting at 11 a.m., starting with jam. It's going to be 120 kids on violins. Then, you know, you go to, you've got Capital City Suzuki at noon. This is just a sampling. At 1 o'clock, you have Alaska Pella. 1:20, Sammy Burroughs and C. Scott Fry. We've got the Center Mountain Big Band at 1:40, Floyd Dryden Middle School Jazz Band after that, and we'll round out the music schedule with the Washeen Dance Group. And depending on the weather, this will be either in the Egan Library as far as the music, or it'll be out on the Morant Plaza. Looks like our weather is improving compared to last week, so we'll see how that looks tomorrow morning.
Well, it says there's a slight chance of rain in the morning, but doesn't say anything about the afternoon.
Okay, well, sounds good for Community Day on campus. And just also real important, we want to remind people that The entrance, if you haven't been out to the university for a while, well, the what used to be the main entrance just past Auk Lake is permanently closed to university traffic. We're making it a pedestrian campus, and that's in process right now with a lot of construction. So you want to use the now new main entrance, which we call the north entrance, off the back loop road to get to UAS.
All right, Katie Balser, thank you for giving us the details on tonight's presentation by Henry Railbird and also about Community Day at UAS tomorrow. What time,
okay.
What time does that all start?
It starts at 11 a.m.
It goes till 3?
Goes till 4 this year.
4 this year. All right, Katie, thank you very much for being on the air with me. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I think that's about it, Jeff.
All right, thanks for being on the air with me today.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Tonight at 8 o'clock at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center, nice space to his name. Barney McClure. The Barney McClure Trio will be in concert along with the Juno headliner, Juno Jazz and Classics headliner, Dee Daniels. Here's a little sample of her music right now.
Neath the stars that was on, so often I've had to caress me. $5 or $10 then I'd collect from all those yes men. Don't be sad, I must add, that they meant no more than just me. Darling, can't you see? 'Twas for charity. Though these lips have made dips, it was never really serious. Who'd have thought I'd be brought to a state that's so delirious? I could cry salty tears. Where have I been all these years? Little while. Finding and knowing.
Matthew Daniels will be performing tonight with the Barnum McClure Trio starting at 8 o'clock at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center next door here to KTO at this intersection of Eagan and Whittier. Starts again at 8 o'clock and it's a concert brought to you by the Juneau Jazz and Classics Festival. If you need more information about that, check them out at jazzandclassics.org. In the studio with us now to talk about International Migratory Bird Day, which is tomorrow, is Gwen Bayless. Gwen, thank you very much for coming to the station today.
Thank you.
So first of all, what is a migratory bird, other than the obvious?
Well, there's actually a lot of different ways to define migratory birds. There's different kinds of migrants. We have some that are very long-distance migrants. They call the neotropical migrants that come from somewhere in North America and go down to Mexico, Central, or South America. But we do have migrants that don't go quite so far. And some of our birds, for instance, might only go down to the lower 48. We have migrants also in the bird world that are altitudinal. They just go up and down the mountain according to the weather. There's others that they call eruptive that might go east-west in order to take advantage of food resources, like our pine siskins here going all over. So there's really all different kinds of migrations.
What are the most common migratory birds seen there locally?
There's a lot that are common. 60 to 70% of our species are migrants. For songbirds, a hermit thrush is a very common migrant. A lot of them are wintering down in Mexico, as well as some of our warblers.
What else do their passports say?
The birds don't need any papers. So, where do they really live? That's a good question. Most of them probably spend more time on their wintering grounds or even at points in between than they do here, which is normally where they breed.
And so that's what makes Southeast Alaska and Juneau area special.
Well, we have a lot of bugs in the summer, so that's something that a lot of the songbirds are coming up to exploit that resource.
You're welcome to it.
Yes. A lot of good vegetation for some of the birds. So habitat opens up in the summer that's rich, and then that resource goes away in the winter and they leave.
Worldwide, who's the biggest traveler?
That would be the Arctic tern, and that's going to be part of our celebration tomorrow. They are extreme long-distance travelers going from northern places like Alaska and Greenland all the way down to Antarctica.
How long does it take them to make the journey? Do they do it in one fell swoop?
They go about 200 to 300 miles a day, and I'm not sure exactly how long that comes out to be, but they go pretty fast.
So the International Migratory Bird Day is tomorrow. How are we celebrating here in town?
We have a number of activities. So in the morning tomorrow out at the community garden, I'll be doing some songbird banding, and that's a great way to get up and close to some of the interesting migratory birds around here, like the warblers. And that's a drop-in between 7 and 11. There's also an Audubon bird walk simultaneously that starts at 8, and that's around the marsh. And for birders, that's a good place to see soras, which are pretty rare around here, and other good birds. And then in the afternoon, out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center, we're going to be watching those famous terns, and there'll be a wood carving of bird patterns, a visit from a live falcon from the Raptor Center. And we also have an art contest going on, also celebrating the Arctic tern, so you can get information about that. We have lots of great prizes, and we also have posters that are very colorful, celebrating Migratory Bird Day, to give away, and more information about that.
Definitely sounds like a family event.
Yes, all ages are welcome, and the kids really like seeing the birds up close, so it should be really great for them.
Tell me more about the banding process.
Well, it starts by putting up a net called a mist net. The forest near the garden is very good bird habitat, and so they're flying through all the time. And the net is I have some that are 6 and 12 meters long and pretty tall, and they sort of blend in with the vegetation so the birds don't see them if they're going fast. And the net has little pockets. It doesn't hurt the bird at all. They just get stuck in there, and then you take them out and put a band on their leg. That band has a unique number, and if the bird is encountered somewhere else, and someone gets that number, we can see where it went.
Cool. What does the bed look like and how much does it weigh?
It's very small. It looks like a little bracelet that goes around their leg, and it has a unique identifying number, and they're made out of aluminum, and the birds don't fly off crooked or anything. It's very low impact for them.
Cool. They're talking to Glenn Bayless about International Migratory Bird Day going on tomorrow in various places. Can you give another rundown of the activities, please?
Yeah, we have community garden starting at 11 for bird banding, and then a bird walk at 8, and then the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center from 3 to 5 p.m. That's turn viewing. Also see the live raptor wood carving and enter the art contest. And I should also mention regarding migratory birds and terns that at the end of the month we have the Yakutat Tern Festival. And there's all kinds of great activities. Bob Armstrong is the keynote speaker. There's going to be artists, tons of bird walks, and cultural events. Really a great event. This is a second annual Tern Festival. And more information about that can be found on the web at just yakutaternfestival.org.
All right, Gwen Bayless, thank you for coming down to the station. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Go birding. I hope to see everyone there and the weather cooperates.
Marcy Marks here. The time is 3:25, and you're tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Seems to be a little bit of confusion in the process about the Saturday plant sale, and I'm glad to add to it. It's not Saturday, it's Sunday. The plant sale is on Sunday. It's in a community garden on Montana Creek Road. Not at Safeway, as was announced on a June afternoon yesterday. We've got here again, it's Sunday's plant sale is at the community garden on Montana Creek Road, not at Safeway. Here's some more music from D. Daniels.
Georgia Brown, two left feet and also need a sweet Georgia Brown. They all sigh and wanna die for sweet Georgia Brown. I tell you just why. You know I don't lie, not much. It's been said you're not so dead when she lands them down. Since she came, why it's a shame how she cools them down. Fella, she can't get off balance. She ain't met Georgia, cleaned her. Georgia named her sweet Georgia Brown. No gal made her, got a shade on sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet and also need a sweet Georgia Brown. Feel sigh and wanna die for sweet Georgia Brown. I tell you just why. You know I don't lie, not much. It's been said she knocked from bed when she lands in town. Since she came, why it's a shame how she cooled them down. She can't get off balance. She ain't met Georgia, claims that Georgia named her sweet Georgia Brown.
Performers at this year's Jazz and Classics Festival. She'll be performing tonight with the Barney McClure Trio at 8 o'clock at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. If you need more information about that, check their website at jazzandclassics.org. A junior investigative reporter has found the time and the date of the plant sale. It is Sunday starting at 1 o'clock in the community garden on Montana Creek Road. The plant sale is on Sunday starting at 1 o'clock and going probably until 3 o'clock in the community garden area on Montana Creek Road. We've got the air.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 18th of May, 2012. It's the birthday of the photographer Matthew Brady, born near Lake George, New York, about 1823. He was a very prosperous portrait photographer in New York City, took pictures of Edgar Allan Poe and Daniel Webster, James Fenimore Cooper, published them in a book, took a portrait of Abraham Lincoln. And when the Civil War broke out, Matthew Brady risked his finances to go south and document it. Exposure times were still much too long to permit photographing battles in action. He took many photographs of fallen soldiers, held a showing of them in New York. People were shocked. They'd never seen the carnage of war before. Brady had gambled everything on this project, but nobody wanted to pay for such disturbing images. 10 years after the end of the war, Congress paid him $25,000 for his archive, but that did not cover his debts, and Matthew Brady died penniless. It's the birthday of the filmmaker Frank Capra, born in Bishopino, Sicily, 1897. Got a job in Hollywood, learned the business, writing title cards, handling props, directing short subjects, and then hit the big time in 1934 with It Happened One Night. By the late 30s, Frank Capra had found his storytelling rhythm. An idealistic, even naive, average guy runs up against a corrupt system, prevails with the help of his pluck and determination and the support of people who love him. Mr. Deeds goes to town. Mr. Smith goes to Washington. He made propaganda movies during the war, and then after the war found that America had changed. His first post-war film, It's a Wonderful Life, was a huge box office disappointment, didn't come close to breaking even. By the mid-70s, TV stations started showing It's a Wonderful Life around Christmas time, and over the years it's become a traditional part of the holiday season. The American Film Institute recently named it the most inspirational motion picture of all time. Here's a poem for today by Robert Frost, his poem about a farmstead whose house had burned down, the need of being versed in country things. The house had gone to bring again to the midnight sky a sunset glow. Now the chimney was all of the house that stood, like a pistol after the petals go. The barn opposed across the way, that would have joined the house in flame, had it been the will of the wind, was left to bear forsaken the place's name. No more it opened with all one end for teams that came by the stony road to drum on the floor with scurrying hoofs and brush the mow with the summer load. The birds that came to it through the air at broken windows flew out and in, their murmur more like the sigh we sigh from too much dwelling on what has been. Yet for them the lilac renewed its leaf, and the aged elm, though touched with fire, and the dry pump flung up an awkward arm, and the fence post carried a strand of wire. For them there was really nothing sad, but though they rejoiced in the nest they kept, one had to be versed in country things not to believe the Phoebes wept. Robert Frost's poem, The Need of Being Versed in Country Things, from the collected poems published by Holt and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, iPad users can download the three most recent issues of Poetry Magazine, celebrating its centennial in 2012 at poetryfoundation.org. And by CenturyLink, linking Americans and Fortune 500 companies to what matters most. Learn more at CenturyLink.com. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Written by Holly Vanderhaar, produced by Joy Biles. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
I am a storyteller. My life is a story. My history, my culture, my actions are all part of my story. You are a storyteller too. If you or someone you love is a victim of violence or is acting violently, you can change your story. We can stop the violence. Asking for help changes everything. We all Alaskans choose respect.
Visit andvsa.org or call 1-800-799-SAFE. Thank you.
Barney McFleur playing the Hammond VC organ. They'll be appearing in concert with this trio tonight at 8 o'clock at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. It's a concert brought to you by the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. They'll be accompanied by Dee Daniels on the vocals.
As most residents are aware, Aero Refuge has recently offered the option of subscribing to its co-mingled curbside recycling service. This new service will have no impact on the source-separated self-serve CBJ recycling program located at the landfill.
CBJ remains committed to seeing waste diverted from the landfill and will continue its recycling and household hazardous waste programs. For questions related to the CBJ recycling and hazardous waste program, call 780-6009.
This message is brought to you by the CBJ Public Works Department.
Find the time. Have you ever been in love, but you just can't find the time? You see, I got so many men, they are waiting outside in line. You know, I got to be the boss, but daddy, you can wear the pants. I'm a busy, busy woman, busy both day and night. I'm a busy, busy woman, busy both day and night. And I got no time for men who just can't get their loving right. Thank you. find yourself 5 or 6 men. You can do just like your daddy, go find yourself 5 or 6 men. And if that's not enough, go find yourself 8, 9, or 10. I got a man in Atlanta, 2 in Alabama, 3 in Cincinnati, 4 in Chattanooga, 5 in Mississippi, 6 in Memphis, Tennessee. If you don't like my peaches, honey, let my orchard be.
It's LeVay Smith and the Red Hot Skillet Liquors. They'll be performing tomorrow night at the Centennial Hall at 8 o'clock as the finale act with the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. If you need more information on that, check out their website at jazzandclassics.org. Here in the June afternoon, next guest, at number 7 at least, and there's now more in the control room here. They were involved with the Femme Fatale show, which had the amateur night last night at the Rendezvous, and they're having 2 nights of entertainment tonight and tomorrow night, again at the Rendezvous. Lila is here to tell us a little bit about the 4A's. Lila, thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you so much for having us, Jeff. So our show tonight is at the Rendezvous. It starts at 10, doors open at 9. We're so excited. We've got 7 performers from Anchorage here, excited to be here, and they're going to put on an amazing show.
Can you tell me about the 4A's, please?
Yes, the 4A's are short for the Alaskan AIDS Assistance Association. We are the leading HIV/AIDS organization in the state. We serve 91% of the state. The only area we don't serve is Fairbanks. They have their own HIV/AIDS organization. And we work to do to help those and support those living with HIV/AIDS, as well as prevention. Prevention is one of the things that we need to do to make sure the disease does not spread and we can keep Alaska a low-incident state for the disease. So that's why we're here. We're raising money. We have an office here in Southeast. It operates a syringe exchange. Phoebe does prevention. She also works with people that are living with the disease on a day-to-day basis to make sure they can get their medications, their food, whatever else they need. So that's why we're here. We're raising money. And last year we raised almost $9,000 for our Juneau office. All the money raised will stay here in Juneau for our Southeast office.
Last night you had an amateur night that raised how much money?
We raised $1,100.
Sounds good. Does someone want to step up the microphone and tell me what a Femme Fatale show is for our listeners' benefit?
Well, our Femme Fatale show over the past several years, which is we've been coming here and performing, it's evolved. It started out as a drag show, mostly drag queens. It's evolved to include drag kings, which is women that perform dressed as men. We also have live singers as well. So it's really evolved into an all-around show that has a little bit of everything for everybody.
How many costume changes does a typical performer go through?
Well, depending on the performer, it's in one of our shows here in Juneau, it's been about 2 to 3 costume changes per night.
So each costume change comes along with a different persona?
Sometimes it's the same persona, but it's a totally different look, maybe a different feel. The song selection may be different, but it's definitely the same performer in face.
Well, some of the other people, could they step up to the microphone and tell me their name and also their alter ego?
My name is Callie Delgado, and I actually am not a drag queen, so
okay, I'm on the studio anyway.
I'm Sean. I'm also known as Shaden Moon, and I'm one of the drag queens.
My name is Trevor Council, and I am Ashley.
Hello, everyone. This is Jay Her, and I'm known as Yutani.
I'm Jovi Fernandez, and my stage name is Jovi, as a Las Vegas performer.
How long does it take you to get into a typical costume?
It takes me anywhere from 2 to 4 hours to get set up, but just face and changing costumes, about 5 minutes.
And how did you develop your costume, your character?
I just buy great clothes.
Some of us make our stuff, you know, from scratch and stuff. Or from ribbon, or from leftover things that we found on the streets.
And just so you know, U-Tranny does some amazing, amazing, very intricate costumes. One was actually featured on our Anchorage Daily News site from Drag Queen Bingo last year. It was beautiful, and he made it himself. So there's all walks here.
What goes on during a typical femme fatale show?
I'm sorry?
What goes on during a typical show?
Peach?
Well, as for instance, last night at our amateur night, we had, it was a half and half show. We had five performers from Anchorage. We had five amazing performers that are local from here in Juneau come in, and they were all drag queens. We actually had several that were also live singers as well, which is amazing. You don't see that too often. But it's various genres of music, various styles. But the one thing that definitely is common is everybody was there to have a good time. The audience just eats it up. They love that, I guess, performance style, if you will, and we love performing for them.
So there's a lot of lip syncing that goes on or actual singing?
Definitely. I would say, especially with last night, it was 70% drag, which is lip syncing, and then 30% was live singing.
Cool. Do you have a good time when you're doing it?
I know I do.
Always.
It seems like we all do. It's definitely not a chore.
All right. So the show is tonight and tomorrow night at the Rendezvous?
Tomorrow night, it's actually at the Baranoff. We start at 6 tomorrow night. That's an all-ages show. Doors open at 5. And again, doors will open again at 8:30 for the 9 o'clock show tomorrow at the Baranoff. And tonight, it's at 10 at the Rendezvous.
What makes for a real crowd pleaser? So as far as the costume goes.
Oh, boy. That's a tough one. We have, I really have to take it from our, we have two performers here that we actually just went shopping at the local Juno boutiques and found great outfits that can be worn to really impress an audience. However, we have two other different styles of performers that they create their own costumes. Jovi makes amazing Las Vegas style showgirl headdresses that are just beautiful. U-Tranny, it's very Asian, very geisha oriental with big flowers and intricate makeup. So each person definitely has a different flair and a different style. And I think that makes for a little bit of something for everybody.
What do you think the audience goes for?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm a real girl and I perform, but I tell you what, Juno loves their drag queens, and it's definitely apparent. They love every one of the performers that comes out on stage.
And last night we had, for amateur night, we had a lot of great support for the local performers, and we're actually inviting three of them back this evening, plus the reigning person from last year. So we'll have four locals tonight in the show.
When you say the femme fatale movement is large throughout the state of Alaska?
Well, we as far as with the performers themselves, we have a large group in Anchorage. We also have quite a good group that's starting up in Fairbanks, as well as the Valley. The Valley is actually also starting to really grow some new performers. But the highlight seems to really be in Anchorage, and Juno seems to really love, and they're starting to grow new drag queens every year. I say it like they're vegetables. Sorry.
Another question on the table. For the people who buy their clothes off the rack, so to say, how much money do you spend on clothes per year?
Last year alone, between makeup and hair and everything, about $10,000.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty accurate total. I do not hold myself back when I'm purchasing. It's really fun to get exactly what you want and to be as super fabulous as possible.
I think the one thing people also don't realize, these girls, especially getting into drag, it's not only the clothes, but the amount of money spent with makeup and hair. It really is a dedicated art.
All right, well, thank you for coming down the station and talking about the Femme Fatale show going on tonight. It's about 10 o'clock at the Rendezvous, and then tomorrow night, what time does it start at the Baranoff?
At 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. We have two shows tomorrow, and they're two completely different shows tomorrow.
And if people need more information about the Femme Fatale movement, is there a website?
They can check us out on Facebook. We're on Facebook under, look us up under Alaskan AIDS Assistance Association.
All right, anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, thank you so much for having us here. Everyone looks forward to coming to Juno, so.
Yay!
Yay!
Thank you.
Make the bass boom, boom, boom. Move with the boom and bye, bye, boom.
crazy as a shake up here. When she moves, everybody flips. Everybody stops and sounds me sing. Men who try and love her disappear without a chase. You can't escape from no one the honey makes. You got a big gold suit and a diamond ring. Girls all laugh, but the boys all sing. She puts the zing and swing. Everybody's talking about me sing.
Smith and the Red Hot Skillet Lickers will be performing tomorrow night at the Junior Jazz and Classics Festival, Centennial Hall of Serenity at 8 o'clock. Time is 3:59. You are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1, K220 BT Sursuna at 91.9. An excursion inlet and icy straight, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. Also live online at www.ktuo.org. Next Monday on a June afternoon, Mark Wheeler hosts an hour of science-related interviews. Guest Tom Ainsworth will talk about predicting the weather. McHeckers will highlight glacial research. And Bill Lady will explore alternative energy. The writer Zomanek for note music and more tomorrow, or next Monday at 3 on a June afternoon. Coming up next is All Things Considered with a forecast for tonight. Mostly cloudy skies with scattered rain showers in the evening.
We'll be interested in his opinions of cheeseburgers in Chicago.
A new relationship on the menu. President Obama welcomes the new French president to the White House.
Today is Friday, May 18th, and this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. President Francois Hollande came to Washington in advance of the G8 summit this weekend. Topic A, the economic crisis in the Eurozone.
Also, the multi-billion dollar losses at JPMorgan Chase and Chairman Jamie Dimon's role.
Why is Minneapolis the most bikeable city in America?
It started...